a minute.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you for our Bible study, God. We thank you for these people that came out, Lord, to study your word. Father, we ask that you take these lips of clay, God. Speak to us. Teach us, Lord, God, according to your will and your way. Open up the divine revelation and knowledge to us. As we receive your word, we give thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us lift our Bibles, make our confessions all together. This is my Bible. It was sent for my direction. It was written for my correction. I believe it, and I read it. I am what it says that I am. I can have what it says that I can have. I can do what it says that I can do. It is the word of the living God. Amen, amen. You may be seated. We were discussing earlier, amen, that Brother Charlie Parker, the fourth, the second, the third, the fifth, third, was saying he couldn't find it. And Melanie, Sister Melanie, the first, was saying that she couldn't find the answers to the test. So we'll go over that after we're done with our Bible study for tonight. Tonight we're in the third chapter. Who read the third chapter of Isaiah? Remember I told you guys to read ahead, not forehead, but just stay with the scripture. And sometimes, maybe because you could find it, you have to read it over and over and over. And then we have a whole week, you know, we read that one chapter, and then we read it again, reread it. And you might want to read it out of the King James Version and the NIV Version so you can get clarity, all right? So a plain English, one of your plain English Bibles. You can get it off the Internet. Go on the Internet to, you can just pull your scriptures, Google it, whatever Isaiah's third chapter, and it'll give you a choice of how you want to read it. Isaiah 3, and it'll give you the Bible and the Bible versions, and you can read it from all of them. Most times, if I do my Bible study, I'm usually on the computer, I do all my reading, most of it, unless I'm sitting in my room or in the TV room. Sometimes I grab my other Bibles and read them, but you don't have to purchase it now. You can just get those different versions just by being on the Internet. So in chapter 3, those of you who read it, hopefully got a clear understanding. Tonight, we're still in the part of our lesson. Everybody has an outline? Okay, so we're still on the words of judgment, the A, outline number A. And we're talking about walking in the light of the Lord. We're still under the sins of Israel and Judah, talking about the sins of Israel and Judah. And chapter 3, we were there last week. Chapter 3 is where Isaiah is warning the people about the judgment that's about to come on Judah. He's warning the people. So verse 3 gives us a clear opening, a clear understanding of that particular portion of the Bible. If we look at verses 1 to 3, Jerusalem here, they was taken into captivity. This is a vision that God, we already came to the understanding three lessons ago, in the first lesson, that God had given Isaiah a vision of what he was about to do. Most of what he's telling Judah and Israel is because he's telling them the vision that God gave him. So what he's doing is he's revealing to them the vision. So in this vision, he had seen Jerusalem, and that they were taken captivity, and their leader was destroyed. And so this was a vision then that the Lord had given to Isaiah, and it was about to happen. He was reminding them of the vision and letting them know that it was about to happen. God warned them before in Deuteronomy 28. Remember, I told y'all, if you read the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, everybody stops at the blessing. They say, that's good. I got it. Okay, all right. But they forget to read through the whole chapter, the whole book, because it also speaks of the curses as well, right? Amen. And so God warned them that if they disobey him and turn away from him, that all of these curses and all this destruction will come on them. And I'm telling you, if y'all did, like I told you to a few weeks ago, read the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, those curses way outnumber the blessings. Am I right? What did he say? Oh, okay. And so, but although the blessings in spiritual weight outweigh the curses, it's still a lot of them. So a lot of stuff, if you read them, a lot of stuff you can even, if you think about the things that's going on in your life around you and around your family and around your work or whatever the case may be, if you read them, you say, oh, my God, Lord, what is it? Show me. Or you might even already know, you know, where you've fallen in disobedience. But it's not like God bring that and just like, okay, here, Eugene, this is for you because you disobeyed me. I'm going to put this on you. No, it's already set in motion. The law is already set in motion. It's already there. So every action dictates a reaction. There's always a reaction to every action, right? Hello? You put one foot in front of the other and you're walking, right? That's your action. So every time you make an action, there's a reaction. God has already put the laws out there. He's already put the consequences out there from day one. He gave it to Moses. He said, this is my law. And told Moses when he pulled them out of Egypt, out of Egypt and took them to the Exodus to the other side, before they went over there, he told Moses, now sit them down and tell them what they can and cannot do. So God gave them the laws. I'm paraphrasing here. We all know that. God gave them the laws. This is what you have to do. And if you break the laws, this is what's going to happen to you. So that's been set in motion from way back when. It hasn't changed. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I am the fulfilling of the law. The only thing that changed when he came was that we don't have to be circumcised and a blood-born Jew. We can receive Christ through Jesus Christ. Amen. We can receive God through Jesus Christ and become a child of the Most High God. And so God warned them in Deuteronomy 28 that disobedience would bring great afflictions and destructions. And he showed Isaiah what was about to happen to them. The sad thing is that when God sends warnings, nobody changes, nobody moves. Everybody just keep on going, doing their thing, just like it ain't nothing. Just like Jesus said, we're going to be like we was in the time of Noah. Remember the time of Noah? For 120 years, Noah kept building the ark. Everybody laughing at him. Man, it ain't going to rain. It ain't never rain. What is rain? So nobody knew what rain was. It had never rained before. God watered the ground from the midst of the earth. The water came up from the midst of water, the plants and the trees and stuff. But they never seen rain come from the sky. So they call them crazy. You losing your mind. You crazy. You fool. You know, they kept right on doing their thing. So Jesus said, in that time, it's going to be just like it was with Noah. So we don't expect when God give a word. And especially if the Lord give me a vision now, just me, I'm not talking about no other preachers or prophets, but when God give me a word or show me a vision, I would love for everybody to make a change and act upon it, but I don't expect that because Jesus already said it's going to be just like it was in the time of Noah. People going to still be going about their own business, doing their own thing. They say, oh, the Lord ain't coming. Oh, this ain't going to happen. And, oh, they've been talking about this for years. And then all of a sudden one day, boom. Hello? So he told them in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy that disobedience would bring great afflictions and destructions. But, just like I said a few minutes ago, but, they continued all through the years in their own evil ways. But, I mean, that's us. We always got our butt in the midst of a situation. And here they were, even though God said, but they did their own thing. And then warning come before destruction, the Bible always says. So in verses 1 through 3, the Lord was showing Isaiah, and he was telling Judah about the situation. And to clarify, because I know half y'all didn't read it, he said, for behold, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem. I'm only going to read it because the third chapter is not quite as long as the second one was. But, yeah, it's a little bit longer. Okay. From Jerusalem and from Judah, the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty men and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of the 50 and the 1,000 honorable men, and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. So here God was destroying, showing Isaiah that the leaders, all these old people, not just the church leaders, but the politicians, the lawyers, and all those up there in the high places that are using and abusing the poor, they're all going to be destroyed. Hello? Because of their stiff neck and their disobedience. So when we go through verses 5 to 9, here, when we as a people, if we think about it, now if you read 5, he said, the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and base against the honorable. And I read that, I said, you know, that's going on right now. In other words, children are so disrespectful to us. Elderly, they have no respect whatsoever to the older people. Even children, young, even the adults are disrespectful. Their parents, they like to say, I'm grown. Hello. It's still disrespect. In the Bible days, that was unheard of. You just didn't disrespect your parents and the elderly. You could be going into a store or something or about to do something, and some young man come. He don't have no manners whatsoever. Chivalry is completely out of his vocabulary. He doesn't know what it's about. He don't even know the meaning of it. So he'll run you over. Little old lady in a walker, little old lady on a cane. Don't care. We'll run you, slam over, getting in the door, slam the door in your face. Rude, disrespectful, cuss you out. You could get on the bus, and everybody, every man in the bus, usually back in the day, a woman get on the bus, and some man would stand up and give her his seat. Try that today. Although I don't ride the bus, but I'm sure that many people that do can agree with me. They ain't giving no seats. I've been in crowded places whereby men would be seated somewhere, and the women would be standing up, and they would not rise up and give their seat to the woman. So, I mean, old women, I ain't just talking about the young women. Oh, they probably rise up and give it to a young, beautiful woman. But old mama, you stand there, whatever. You know, my legs hurt too. My feet hurt too, they would say. Make little comments and stuff. So there's no respect. So when we as a people can't even see our own sins, we are handicapped. It handicaps us. It makes us like spiritually retarded. You know, a handicapped person can only do so much. They need help to do most everything that they do. And that's the way we are when we can't see our sins. We think we're okay, and we're not. We're spiritually retarded. This will open a door to all sorts of disasters that come on us in our lives. In other words, here we go. Broken relationships. Losing authority and control. I used to have control over my children. I used to have control over my husband or my wife. I used to have control over my job, my work situation. Now they disrespect me. They don't have no respect for me. I used to have control over this, over my finances. I can't even control my finances. I'm spending like somebody crazy, like a wildfire. And blindness to the needs of others. When somebody needs something, you have no care whatsoever. You can't even see those around you that are in need. But the worst of all, forgetfulness towards God. When we are spiritually handicapped, we have a total lack of desire to serve the Lord. That we don't want to go. We just shuffle in when we feel like it, or we don't come at all. When sin is there, sin has blinded you, it's handicapped you, sin has made you spiritually retarded in the eyes of God. You have no connection with Him. And so our spiritual blindness is a matter for us, and we don't understand it. It's a matter of life and death. It really is a matter of life and death. It's not just an inconvenience. Well, you know what? This is usually my Sunday when I do such and such, and, you know, I'm going, but, you know, like it's inconvenient for us to serve the Lord. You know, well, you know, me and my husband, we do that. Well, me and my wife usually do this on Sundays, but I'm going to church today. Oh, my goodness, stay home. Go do your thing, because God don't receive that. Remember we read, in the first chapter, when he told Israel, say, I don't even want y'all praying no more. Don't offer no more sacrifices. I don't want none of this from you, because you wishy-washy, and you don't mean it. Your worship ain't real, and you ain't worshiping me. I don't want it. God said, I'm sick of it. Get it out of my face. And that's the way he look at us. When we put him, we pretend like we're so in love with God and we're so happy to go serve him, but we treat him like he's an inconvenience. And I know we don't do that in here, but most saints, I mean church folk, do. And that's why the house of God sometimes is lacking, because the church has not put God first. We've gotten to the point where the church is we're in that great falling away that the Bible speaks of. And it's bound to happen. It was bound to happen, that great falling away, where people are more concerned about themselves than they are about God and about the works of God. And this is basically where Israel and Judah was. If we read verse 6, it says, when a man shall take hold of his brother and of his house and his father, saying, thou hast clothed and be thou our ruler. In other words, you got wealth, you got stuff, you can be the ruler over us now. You know, you come and take control of the land and the ruler. You ain't qualified. God ain't anointed you to do nothing. But because you got this stuff, you can do it. So they put anybody up over there. They don't care. I remember reading in the scripture where God said a nation will get a leader whom they deserve. And sometimes I believe that the United States have leaders in Congress that are causing all kind of confusion and don't have no concern for the people. They pretend like they care about the people, but they don't. They're up there trying to make sure that their laws and their rules and their regulations get passed because they're the one that's right. Forget about the people. Who cares? And so we do. We are a nation that turned away from God. We thank God we haven't. But there are people that don't. That God is. They took him out of the courthouse. They took him out of schools, and gradually putting him back in schools. They gradually want to put him back in the legislature. I mean, in the courthouse. But they don't want no mention of Jesus. They don't want no mention of God. And then they say they can run a nation and run a country. They can lead people. They can shepherd over people. Our church leaders, some of them, they allow anything and everything to go on in the house of God and not telling the people about sin, not trying to get them on track and keep them on track. But they're just preaching anything, preaching what feels good. The Bible said we're in a day now, like the Bible said, where people have itching ears. And so the preachers are preaching to itching ears. Well, what y'all want to hear? What you want me to talk about, you know? A good motivator, you know, just hang in there, hold on, you know, it's going to work out after a while, and you're still doing your stuff, healing your mess. I'm still wilding in sin, and I'm talking about hold on, God going to work it out after a while. You can't do nothing with me in sin. The Bible said God here is not a sinner's prayer. Only thing you hear from you is, Lord, save me. Hello? Amen. Glory to God. So, and if we read 9:9-11, he began to say, the show of their countenance does witness against them. Listen, that's very important. They declare their sin as Sodom. The show of their countenance. What is he saying here? Anybody? The show of their countenance. What is your countenance? How you look. What you say, Elder? Your demeanor, your character, your face, your facial expression, your lifestyle, how you dress, how you look, how you act, your confidence. I ain't even see on your face. You don't, like, you know, sometimes you preach to people like, hire up now. What? Or they start talking and texting on the phone. Your confidence, your face shows that you ain't even interested. You're not even listening. You're not even hearing what's coming forth. And so the Bible says that Isaiah told them in verse 9, the show of their countenance does witness against them. You say, oh, that wasn't me. Man, let me play a picture for you. Click, you got a picture. See you sitting there? You ain't even looking. You all you were doing was like, whoa, boy, hello. Eyes up in the sky rolling. So here's a picture. Let me play a picture back of your face, how you really look. And people think, your face shows so much. So much. That's why when you talk to people, you should look in their eyes because their eyes are the key to their soul. They may be saying one thing, their eyes are telling you the truth. You can find the truth in their eyes. Hello. So, and so if we read through the 9, 10, and 11, he began to tell them, woe unto your soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. We blame God when evil is breaks out around us, but we forget that we caused it ourselves. Hello? Most of the time it comes from something that we had did or said. We open the door. You open that door. It's up to you to close it. Hello? But we blame God. Sin isn't in itself. It can be self-destructive to you and to me. So today, living a sin-filled life has a deceptive look. It's a deceiver. It has a look of glamour and excitement and even make you think you're smart. I got this. I'm all smug. I know what I'm doing. The devil is so cunning. How cunning is he? Because the Bible says we are enticed and driven away. Don't say that the Lord, when you are taken away with evil, that the Lord tempted you. Because the Bible says God don't tempt us with evil, but because of the lust on the inside of you. Hello. Because of the sin on the inside of you, because of your desire to do wrong, that's what got you out there. If you didn't have lying on the inside of you, when the lie came to you, you would have rebuked that lie. Hello? If you wasn't, you didn't have whoremonging and fornicating on the inside of you, when that man or that woman came to you, you would be able to walk away. The sin is there. It's on the inside. The only thing that's going to get you out is a reborn. That's why the Apostle Paul said we need to renew our minds. Our whole thinking has to change. We have to think on the things of God in order to sanctify this body. Because if you can keep under this body, Paul said, I keep under my body daily to bring it under subjection. You got to do this. This is what it takes. You got to work with yourself to walk holy. Hello? It ain't just going to come, you're just going to lay on the bed or sit on the couch or whatever, or at your office, how you'll do it. It's just going to happen. It ain't. So somebody liable to say something just like this to tick you off. And the stuff that come out your mouth will be unbelievable. It'll shock even you. You'll be like, whoa, I didn't even know I had that in me. Hello. But if you're restraining yourself in the Holy Spirit, that's what it's going to take. Thing is wrong. It's wrong. I don't care if you see it. I don't care who is doing it. Regardless of what society has said and how they perceive it, it's still wrong. I don't care how many laws are passed saying it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. It's wrong and it's sin and it's wrong in the eyes of God. The Bible says it stinks in the nostrils of God. I ain't going to let nobody, I don't care what law they pass, make me stink in the nostrils of God. It's like rottenness to him. Hello? God don't even hear your prayers in the midst of that mess. So in the long run of things, sin will make us miserable and it'll end up utterly destroying us. This is what Isaiah saw for Israel and Judah, Jerusalem. Y'all headed for ruins. You're taking your own self to ruins because you won't even serve the living God, the God that brought you out of Egypt. The creator of all things, the heaven and the earth, who went with you took you out of the hands of Pharaoh and then confounded Pharaoh and his army that they couldn't catch up to you. Come on. Brought you over the ocean on dry land. He's telling them, look what's going to happen to you now. Because you went and served other gods and because you started acting like the heathen. He told them not to. Didn't he tell them to act like the people in that land? And this is what happened with the saints. We think we can act like the world and serve God. You can't. You can't serve two masters. That ain't just a cliche, and it ain't just something Jesus was saying just to spit it off the top of his head. He was spitting truth. He was telling you it will confuse you. It will drive you out of your mind if you try to serve God and the devil. You will lose your natural mind. You will. We have folks sitting up in the pulpit preaching a good gospel, will preach you up out of your chairs and back in it again, and just as confused and messed up in their head as they can be. They think they're just as crazy as chinch bugs. If chinch bugs have craziness, whatever. Crazy is the letter 8, whatever, the number 8. But they're crazy. Hello? So God, he tries so hard to protect us. We just don't listen. He warns us about our sins. Read the scripture, listen to the preacher, look at the signs, hear the Lord speaking. He tries to protect us, to warn us against our I love Jody. He ain't been nothing but a headache to you ever since you met him. Won't marry you. Hello. Susan's the best thing ever happened to me. How? You don't even know where she at half the time. Every time you see her, she with somebody else. Come on, people. I gave you every disease there is, but she's the best thing that ever happened to me. Wow. I mean, what's your version of the best thing? Because I sure don't want no parts of it. Hello? My God. I mean, God tries to protect us. He warns us. See, something, we don't want to hear God. We don't want to hear it because we like doing this stuff. The flesh loves doing wrong. The flesh loves doing wicked stuff. And Israel was back so tired of Isaiah, but God gave him a vision. He's telling them, okay, now this is what. And they probably, I can imagine that they were like, well, yeah, right, sure. And they still had their cleaning, they still had their wealth, and they were still partying, everything was going on. I was like, you know what? This is going to happen. All your leaders are going to be killed, and this one, y'all going to put somebody over you. They're going to do you worse than this one, and this one's going into captivity. You just telling them, like, yeah, right, whatever, and going on about, because they loved doing what they were doing. They love their intermarriage relationships. They love their homosexual and lesbian relationships. They love their fornicating and adulterous relationships. They love beating and stealing and oppressing the poor people and treating them like dogs. They love that. That's what they like to do. Hello? So they didn't care what he was saying. But God warns us, and he tried to protect us. But we don't want to hear. We want to hear that what we're doing is wrong. We don't want to hear the truth. If you are proud of living a life of sin, then you're going to receive the just punishment that God has for that. If you think it's okay, well, you know what? And some people get so confused. I had somebody tell me, I was telling them about their lifestyle, how I'm going, God, yeah, but the Lord told me to love who I want to love. He did. Which Lord you talk to? You know, you're supposed to love everybody, but there's a difference. I mean, you ain't stupid. You're intelligent enough to know what kind of love. I know enough to know that I'm supposed to love Shadell. I'm older than her, so as my daughter, a granddaughter even. I'm almost old enough for a grandmother. Almost old enough for a grandmother. A daughter and almost. But I know enough to know I can't love her as a lover or as a wife and have that type of relationship that God ordained for a man or a woman. Hello? I know enough to love my brother-in-law, Deacon Parker, as a man or as a brother or brother-in-law, but I know enough to know I can't have a sexual relationship with him outside of marriage and my sister's husband, number one. That's incest, and number two, it's adultery. I ain't stupid. Hello. I know which love, and people say, I couldn't help myself. You could? Wow. Because you have to put yourself in those predicaments. If I know I'm a drug addict, why would I go knock on a drug dealer's door? I just came to see how you doing. Huh? What sense that makes? I know he got stuff laid out on the table, just, you know, enticing me. And I'm going to go there. I just stop by to say hi. Everybody believe that one. You don't do that. You stay away from stuff that pulls you away from what's right. I don't care who, if it's mama and she ain't right. Mama, I love you, I'm praying for you, but God bless you, gotta go. Hello. You don't even talk like you're supposed to. No. Whatever it is, we're supposed to be able to do like Job. The Bible says Job eschewed evil. Who knows what that means? I'm about running. You know, his feet don't fail me now. I don't care. If I got to run, I'm going to run from it. Whatever it takes to get away from evil, you're going to do that. If somebody came up to you with a gun or a knife, you know they were after you, you're going to take off running or do the best you can to hide. That's the same way with sin and destruction. It comes to take your life, to destroy you. Hello. So you better boogie up. You better do something. Get in the wind. Run from it. Don't go running, mingling with that kind of stuff. Just like it said, it's self-destructive. It is. You can't blame people for what you do to your own self. You know how some people like pain, and you ever seen some people that go to psychiatrists because they cut themselves a lot? They don't even feel that pain. That's just what their mentality is, but that's how they make up for their life, and that's how they, because they can't stand themselves, and people make them feel bad about themselves, and so they begin to hurt themselves. And stuff. People that are bulimic and anorexic, they won't eat because they see themselves as fat. You can't even see them if they turn sideways. But to them, when they look in the mirror, they're huge. They're so sick that their bones are sunken in their face. They're so skinny you can see all of their ribs and their little arms. Ain't no meat there. It's just plain skeleton. But to them, they're big and fat. In their mind is telling them big and fat. Why? Because people have tortured them all of their years coming up, calling them fat and saying you're overweight and you're ugly and all this kind of stuff. And sometimes beautiful girls and boys would turn themselves into bulimics or anorexics because people have told them. Hello. The tongue can be a danger. Didn't Jane say that? The tongue will utterly kill. It can be a dangerous thing. You can say things to people that will utterly cut them down, and you think you just said something. That's why you have to be so careful. That's why the Bible says, Solomon said that a soft answer turneth away wrath. Be slow to speak and slow to anger. Sometimes the things that come from your mouth may destroy people, and we do. People hit us at the wrong time. We spit out something, and you're sorry for saying it. Maybe, I mean, sometimes, I mean, I would be. I don't know, maybe not here, because some people might just like to holler at people and, you know, say things to people. Some people do. They love cuss. You'd be surprised at the people that make themselves look big by making other people look small. They think they look big by cutting down other people. That's sin. It's still sin. It destroys you and it destroys people. If you're proud of it, if you're proud of what you're doing, if you call somebody a name and everybody laughing and you're so glad that you did wrong, young girls that don't have a strong mind, that's why the Bible says each generation is wiser, but they're weaker. They got a lot of wisdom as far as technology. They don't have wisdom as far as how to act because some of them got no common sense. But they have technology minds. They're very wise in that, but they're so weak. You can't say anything to them. And their peers have caused a lot of people to commit suicide because they what they call it cyberbullying. They send emails to them, and they won't tell nobody. They won't tell mom and dad this person is doing this to me or try to get help and counsel. Let somebody else tell them you're better than that. You know, encourage them. They won't do that. They just take on what their friends say because surprisingly, and I'm not surprised, those who raise teenagers, we know that teenagers seem to think that their other peers have the market on the truth. Hello. We are told that when we were raising our children, sometimes my kids will say, you tell them something, you know you're right, and you're right on point, and you hear you as 99 and a half years old, and they're going to tell me, but my friend said. And you and your friend both 10. I'm 100 years older than him. I know that's an exaggeration. But your friend said your friend ain't even lived 12 years yet, ain't even lived barely 10 years old. Barely still got milk, still drinking milk, and the milk rim still around the mouth, and you're going to tell me, I just told you what was what. But your friend said. And that's how a lot of our young boys, am I right about it, Officer Charlie, end up in jail because my friends say all I have to do is do this. Huh? And you telling them, the mom, dad, the lawyers even telling them, don't do this. Do this. You got to do this. No, but, you know, I talked to my friend, and he was in that thing. He did it, and, oh, Lord, to me. But when they get to a certain age, you can talk to you blue in the face. Their counsel is their peers. And that's how come it's good when their peers are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and five baptized, because they listen. That's why I urge our young people that are saved and are really serving God to minister to their young. You ain't got any preaching, but talk to them about God. Talk to them about themselves. Encourage them. Tell them, you know, you are beautiful. You are strong. Don't care what nobody else says. They need to hear it from somebody their age, because we preach to them until we blew in the face and they don't hear. So and maybe Judah Israel would have heard if one of the people in the land would have told them. They were near in Isaiah. He was a prophet. He was from God. So they ain't going to hear that. So we need to understand. If you're proud of what you're doing wrong, then it's wrong. It's the other alternative to our path. Tells us where we're at on our path of destruction. First, someone. Let us hear what the first psalm says. The first book of Psalms. Who got it? I'd be quick with this moving. Okay. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You're blessed if you don't follow after sin. I don't care if your best friend is doing it, your best friend is wrong. Hello? Am I right about it? I don't care if mom and daddy's doing it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Mama, pray for y'all. Mama, I don't want to do it. You can't disobey them, though. We better pray hard. Lord, please don't count this to me, but I don't want to go with them because it's wrong. Follow after evil because you're setting your own destruction, and you can't blame nobody but yourself. Amen? And so if we go to 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11, go back to Isaiah. Eventually, if you hold faithful, you will receive God's reward. and the wicked will receive their punishment. I know sometimes if you feel like, oh, man, the more I pray, the harder things, the worse things get. I've been praying and praying and praying. And look at old Jody over there. He ain't doing nothing but playing the women and stealing and selling drugs. And look like he's just prospering. And Sally over there got about 10 or 4 men. And I got my one husband. And I'm trying to live right. And we're struggling. And she riding on a Maserati. Who brought a Maserati? Somebody mentioned Maserati. Okay. That's in my head now. I don't like them cars, so don't think I want one. But it's just in my head. And so, if we hold on to our faith, we'll receive God's reward and the wicked will receive their just punishment. It is disappointing and disheartening to us when we see the wicked that are seemingly prospering in their evil deeds and while we struggle to obey God and to follow his plan in our lives. In verse 9 here, Paul was talking, he said, to show up their countenance is witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their souls, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. See? They brought it on themselves. Whatever's about to happen to them, he said, woe unto their souls, for they brought that on themselves, right? So say ye, God told them, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Say ye to the righteous. God told them, okay, the unrighteous, they're going to get theirs. But say to remind the righteous, remind them that are still holding on, them that are saying, I can't believe it, I'm just trying and trying and struggling, but he said, say, stand righteous. You're going to get your just reward. Remember, reap what you sow. Hello, it's coming back to you. So he said, tell them. So it's so disappointing when we look at it that way. We're struggling, but if we look at it like that, we'll faint. We will say, you know what, I'm going to try them numbers too. Huh? And you're wrong. But hold on and don't faint. Strengthen your heart in the word of God. If you need strength, the only way to find is in God's word. God will bring that about. He's going to bring justice, but he'll bring the word. He'll bring your strength all the way to the end. You just hold on. Don't faint. Count on it. God's going to do exactly what he said. You can count on God. If you can't count on nobody else, you can count on God. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, not one jot, not one tittle. He was talking about the little tiggly marks that the Hebrew writing, but not, in other words, for our language, not a T or that cross and not an I that's dotted is going to wipe away. That's my word. He said, it's not going to wash away, but heaven and earth is going to pass away. My word is going to stand because God's word is what we live by. It's our faith. It's how we operate. It's how God created the heavens and the earth. He said, move that expanse. You go over here and expanse. You go over here and separate over here. Water's over here. Earth over here. He said, let it be. Light up here. Light down there. Less a light. Brighter light. He just started talking. And see, he formed it with the words of his mouth. My word, he says, will always be here. My word will always stand. So if you want to, amen, strengthen your heart or become strong in God, you have to do it in the word of God. Because now you know God. When you study the word, you study the Bible, now you know God. The Bible equates us with who God is, his ways, how he judged. Remember I told y'all last week, a young man I was witness to one time told me, said, well, I don't believe the God I serve would do this because you don't know God. Hello. You don't know him. It's like some kids when never got a beating before in their life don't even know what it means to get a beat. And then when you beat your child, they say, well, if I were you, I'd call the police. You ain't supposed to beat your children. Oh, yeah. If you want them to grow up right as right children, hello, with morals, if you want them to learn scruples and good behavior, you will beat them when they're wrong. The Bible says if you spare the rod, you spoil a child. And that one, that thing, he's going to beat your children. By the time he's 9 years old, he's in the reformatory school. Because he's running the show. Hello? Never got a beating before. Nobody never punished them. Do what you want to do. So hold on and don't faint. Strengthen your heart in God's word. God will bring about justice in the end. You can be assured of that. I can attest about that. He will. And it won't be in the afterlife either, as some call it. But payback comes before the end of life. You reap what you sow. Whatever you do, come back to you before you leave. And then I dare not have that come back to me and then end up in hell too. Come on. I'm going to suffer on this side and then end up in hell. I dare not. Hello. I mean, the little things that we do, we call it suffering. That ain't suffering because you ain't got no job. That's suffering. Hello. Get you a job. It may not be what you want, but it'll pay you some money. You don't have a car, that's suffering. Ride the bus. Come on, people. There's a way out of everything. You ain't got but one outfit to wear, wash it. And wear it again. That's not suffering. We don't know suffering. We haven't seen suffering. Huh? The worms ain't eating at our flesh, thank you, Lord. We didn't lose all of our children and all of our possessions sleeping under a rock or outside on the rock. And worms eating at the flesh at the same time. That never happened to us. We don't know suffering. These are the things we can deal with. What we're going through in our life on this side, we can deal with it. That's just a light thing to the Lord. We need to stop treating it like that and stop acting like it's such a devastation because you lost your job. God, you know what? Stop treating it like, you know what, Lord? Here we are. Me and you work this plan out together. See, the thing is, we don't put God in nothing. And that was Israel and Judah's fault. They didn't never put God. They did everything what the neighborhood did or what the people did, the worshiping their gods and doing what they, God, forget about what God said. They don't put God in the center. If you had put God in the center, you wouldn't have got into that situation. But you get your pencil, you get your paper, and you say, Lord, I need a job, so let's me and you decide what we're going to do. And listen to God as he speaks to you. He'll speak to you, and he'll tell you. You know, he'll say, okay, now let's do this right here. No. But in your spirit, you'll know what to do. You start writing some stuff down. He'll start telling, okay, now do this. Now get on the phone and do this. Okay, get on the internet. Do this. Do this. He'll start talking to you, and you start writing things down. You say, okay, Lord, tell me which way to go in. And be serious about it. We don't want to put God. We only want to call on God when we need him to move something. We need to call on him before. We need to talk to him when everything is going right. People don't hardly pray. They don't hardly talk to God. They barely pick up their Bible. But he wants us to have a conversation with him when everything is well in our house. And we can just sit down, turn the TV off, and just sit there and just have a conversation with the Lord and just listen to the Lord. Read your Bible and just study the word and just talk to God. Everything's going well in my house, Lord. I can't ask. I don't want to ask for nothing. Everything is fine. I don't need to ask for nothing. But that you bless your people. Hello. And just sit there and let God talk to you. God wants an audience from us when we ain't when we don't need something all the time. You ever seen a parent or heard a parent when they got a child that every time they look around, they call them when they need something. The phone ring, that's best, the child. What she want now? Wonder what she done did now. Hello. Because every time you call, you don't hear from them unless something is wrong. And then if you don't hear from them for a few weeks, somebody say, well, you heard from Bessie? No, she must be all right. She ain't called. Hello. So God is saying by you, well, you know what? I haven't heard from Sally. She ain't prayed in about a month. She's doing all right, I see. As soon as something goes, oh, here comes Sally. Hey, long time no hear from. Can you imagine? Yeah. And that's how we see us when we don't speak to him or talk to him unless we need something. But hold on. God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. Can you imagine that, though? Wow. Living crazy and then end up in hell, too. I don't want to do that. We will receive our glorious reward if we have been faithful. The Bible says if you hold on and be faithful unto death, if we've been faithful, that means to the end, that last breath. God is. Hello. And the bonus is, even before the last breath on this earth, we have a relationship with God the Father as a son of the Lord. Isn't that something? I have a relationship with my Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth. People look at you like you're crazy when you say stuff like that. They looked at Jesus when he told them he was the son of God. So am I. They're going to look at you crazy when you tell them I'm the son of the living God. How can you say you're the son of God? You ain't God, no, but I'm his daughter. Hello. People don't understand that, and we need to start understanding who we are in God. Saints are falling short because they really don't know who they are in God. Amen? And so verse 14. Let's go 14 through 16. Y'all just follow through. The elders and the princes were responsible for helping the people But instead they defrauded the poor. Now here's where God, now listen to this. He said, moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and they walk with stretched out necks. What does that mean? And wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making tinkling with their feet. What is he saying there? I'm a woman. Y'all know how we women walk with this thing. Huh? You see, they had jingle bells, and what I call them jingle bells, they wore around their neck and they made noise, you know, and they had on the jewelry and their makeup and everything, and the hair was in place, so they had fine linen clothes. They didn't, you know, clothes weren't made out of no, you know, cheap stuff. And so they threw their heads back and they walked with their head up in the air, you know, like they were somebody. And they oppressed, people oppressed the poor. And so he began to tell them, because the unjust leaders, Isaiah said that they would be first to receive God's wrath. His wrath. Who knows what it is to have his wrath, his anger, his judgment? The Bible says it's bad to fall into the hands of the living God. I don't want to do that. Hello? All leaders, he said, will be held accountable for how they led the people. Anyone in leadership positions, I don't care if you're leader of the church, you're going to be held accountable. I don't care if you're a leader, if you're a politician, if you're a congressman, if you're the president, if you're the governor. I don't care, the city manager. If you're in a leadership position and you abuse your privileges and abuse your position to abuse the people of God, you're going to be held accountable. Hello? Well, I don't believe in God. That's okay. You're still going to be held accountable. Hello? It doesn't matter. When people say they don't believe in God, that's okay. He's still going to judge you whether you believe in him or not. He's not God because you believe in him. He's God even if you don't believe in him. So saying you don't believe in God don't change the fact that he is God. And you will be judged. Hello? We got political leaders that don't believe in God. Okay, fine. You're still going to be judged. You're still going to be held accountable. Oh, well, you better start believing and praying. So anyone in leadership will be held accountable. So they don't put the needs of others first. A leader should put the needs of others before their own. Corruption is going to bring God's judgment, and especially if someone is followed, who's following after you. You know you're doing wrong. You know what you're doing is wrong, and you cause other people to do it too. Oh, my God. God already spoke about that. Hello? When we told Isaiah, you know, if you don't tell them, but we'll get to that later. I won't get ahead of myself. And they sin, they keep sinning, it's on you. But if you tell them and they stop, then it's off of you. We got people that lead people to sin. They tell them, it's all right, you can repent. They don't even have a clue. Well, do you know what it means to repent? Saying I'm sorry is not repenting. You're just apologizing and hope you get off. That's all. Repent means to not do it again. Hello, I ain't doing that no more. That's not me. That's not a part of me. I've repented from that. So why is justice so important to God? Justice is a part of God's nature, number one. It is the way he runs the universe. It's a part of God's nature, and it's the way he runs the universe. I'm giving you four reasons why justice is important to God. The second one is, even as sinners, we all want justice for ourselves. No matter who you are, you still want justice. You want things to be done right for you. You might do other people wrong, but you sure want people to do you right. So even as sinners, we still want justice for ourselves. Again, number one is justice is a part of God's nature. Justice is a part of his nature. It's just who he is. That's how he runs the universe. That's how he judges us. It's justice. Thank God for his justice. Number two, even as sinners, we want justice for ourselves. You're wrong, but you want everybody else to. That, what they say, everybody want to hear the truth, but still they all want to tell a lie. That's what the songwriter say. Everybody want to hear the truth, but they all want to tell a lie. You liars! Who lied louder than you? Number three, the poor people, the poor are powerless and they suffer when church leaders and government are unjust to them. They are powerless, and they suffer when church leaders and government are unjust to them, or is unjust to them. What's the proper pronunciation? Is it is or are leaders? Church leaders and government are unjust to them. Okay, that's plural. The poor are powerless, and powerless suffers when the church leaders and government are unjust to them. And number four, and the final one, the poor is important to God. The poor is important to God. You know why? Because the poor people cry out to God all the time. Poor people are always in the presence of God, always praying, always spending time with God. The poor is important to God. Injustice attacks God's children. And when we do nothing to help them, we oppress them as if we were the oppressors. If you know somebody doing something wrong to the people, and it's in your power to do something about it, and you don't, it's just like you're saying, I agree with what they're doing, right? Because we follow a just God, we have to uphold justice. And this is what God requires from Israel and from us as a people. When he was talking to them, the Lord will enter into judgment, verse 14, and the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard and spoil of the poor in your house. You have taken everything and gave the poor nothing. And I love how he's talking about in 16 and 26, while y'all right now, I'm going to read this. It says, moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and they walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their cowls and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings, the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, so many clothes, and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the eyeglasses, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass in verse 24 that instead of sweet smell, there shall be a stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and the mighty men of war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. The women of Judah was placing too much emphasis on their clothes and their jewelry, and not God. In fact, they spent hours getting dressed, even before going to worship. Dressing up, putting everything, it was in there, because they had to have the look, And when they walked in the door, people had to say, ooh, how beautiful. They had to have that. And so they weren't really preparing themselves. You know how I tell y'all to prepare for worship? Like put the music on, listen to Christian TV while you're getting ready, hours before you get ready to get your mind set in the mode of worship. They weren't preparing. All they were doing was preparing themselves. They dressed flashy to be noticed, to gain people's approval and admiration, and to be fashionable. They completely ignored the real reason for their lives, and that's to serve the Lord. That's the real reason we live, to serve God. People forget about that. We think we live to have things, but we live to serve the Lord. He gave us things as a plus to enjoy them, but we have to put him first. Hello. They were not concerned about other people. They were helping to even oppress the other people that were around them. They were self-serving and self-serving. self-centered. It was all about me. Look at me. Those who abuse their possessions and their wealth, the prophet Isaiah was telling they're going to end up with nothing. Now, these verses, they're not speaking of clothes and jewelry and saying it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. All they're talking about is when you put it before God, it is a bad thing. When you put it before taking care of people that are in need, it is a bad thing. Because if I had a $100 blouse because it was name brand, and I bought this blouse because it was name brand, and I'm showing it off, and I know that the person next to me could use at least 25 of them dollars just to get an outfit because they don't have no clothes. But I spent $100 on this outfit. He said, you're oppressing those that are in need. You're not helping them out, but you're buying, you're dressing yourself up so you can look good, and there are people around you that can use that money for something else, maybe for food, maybe not for clothes, for food. Or I could take that $100 and probably get 100 blouses at the dollar store, at the Goodwill store, and pass them out to different women. Whatever the case, maybe a 50 of those dollars could have bought 50 women or 25 women an outfit. However the case may be, but this is what God is saying. In our wealth, these people didn't care. You poor, get out of here. That's why Jesus said the one that is last is going to be first. And you walk around with your head in the air because you got money and because you got clothes and car and houses and all that kind of stuff, your bank account is fat, guess where you're going to be? Last. The one that don't have nothing, that you walked over, passed by, women even give a dime to, that you begrudged. Now, I'm saying that we do that in here, but you know what I'm talking about. The ones that you passed away, walked away from, didn't help, when the Lord put in your spirit to help, and you said no, when you was asked to help, and you said, no, I'm not going to help because I need to buy me a new outfit. You bought your new outfit instead of helping. They're going to be first, and you're going to be last. The Bible says the saints of God are going to scarcely make it in. And now if we as saints are going to scarcely make it in, how is it that the last that's going to be first, and I'm going to be last if I make it in there? Hello. So he began to show Israel, Isaiah began to show Israel and Judah, this is what the sovereign Lord is saying. God is showing me that destruction is going to come, and this is the reason why. Because first of all, you don't lead right. You're oppressing the poor. You're leading the people astray. You're doing wrong. You're committing sin. You're worshiping idol gods. You're using your wealth and flaunting your wealth like, you know, I'm the rich one. I got this and I got that. And people are hungry. People are starving. That's another thing God have against you. Hello. Remember, he told the church at Ephesus, y'all got this, y'all doing this and that and other, but I got someone against you. It's always something. So when we focus on the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah was saying to Judah and to Israel, we relate that to us, to ourselves. We don't want the judgment of God to come on us. Hello. Judgment is coming on this land, and it's coming soon. The Lord already gave me a vision, and then I saw another one last night. I'm still holding that one. But the Lord is coming soon, and we just have to get all our ducks in a row. We, like they say, just so to speak, get all our ducks in a row. It means that we have to make sure that we're focused on God. We have to make sure that even every decision we make is governed by the Lord. You know, everybody in your house may not be saved, but you can pray for them to be saved, but you make sure you stand and hold firm. You hold firm, and guess what? God will bring all of them in. Everybody will come to the Lord. Hello? But if you got one foot in today and then tomorrow, you got them so confused, they don't know which way to go either. Hello? I tell people all the time, you can't come to church and pretend to be holy and then go home and live like hell. And then when something happens, you're going to pray to God, Lord, help my child. Well, you were the reason your child or your husband or whoever it is not saved. You're the reason they're not in the church. You're the reason that things are not the way you think they should be because you're playing with God. Remember, God told Israel and Judah, don't come to me no more with them false religious prayers. I don't want them. And we got people so fake in the house of God. Oh, my God. You can't fool God, so what's the point? If I didn't want to serve the Lord, I wouldn't even be here. I'd be out there going to hell on a rover, on a yacht or something. Why would I be in the house of God playing church? It's destruction. Remember I read earlier, it's self-destructive. You're destroying your own self, but you're ready to blame somebody else. And one thing we fall into calamity is we blame God, we blame the preacher, We blame our neighbor. We blame our husband, our wife, our cousin, our son, our brother. We won't hold up to that. It's my fault. I'm the one that put myself in harm's way. We need to stand firm. Saints of God are so wishy-washy. I'm scared for the wind to blow because I can't hold all y'all. I'm going to do my best. But you got to be able to stand firm and plant yourself deeply in Christ so that when the wind does blow your way, you'll be able to stand. You may bend. That's okay. I bend. But don't break. Stay focused. Stay with God. That's important because destruction is soon to come. We don't want it to catch us with our work undone. People are going home and are dying. The saints go home, but people are dying every day. Folks don't care nothing about life. Before we came here tonight, and then we're going to go into our review, and we're out of here. Bishop and I went to the forum